And I'll establish quorum.
Mr. Martinez, present.
Conrad Parker, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Kathy Aiken, present.
Karen Ward, present.
And Ken Mollick, present. Item number four is added agenda items, and we will do that. We will add an item to the consent agenda under approval of reimbursements. That's a reimbursement to the city manager. And then we will add up to item number eight in the agenda, a presentation by Deschutes County on tobacco prevention and the program. And we also have with us to assist in that or speak to an area of that, our assistant director of public libraries this evening. So we'll get to that. And with that, I will ask
me,
Kathy Aiken, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Counselor. Item number five is the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented with the addition of a invoice properly annotated for the city manager?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a conflict of interest with respect to Wilderness Ready.
Let the record reflect the counselor's statement.
And is this the item?
Yes.
Yes.
And everybody should have a copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Consent agenda. At this time, we'll ask for public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? Hearing none, we'll move right along to the budget hearing on the fiscal 2015-2016 budget. I'll open the hearing at this time and ask staff for a report.
Okay. Well, this is the budget that you worked on back a few, now it's been over a month ago. But there were no changes. A couple of budget committee folks are here. And so it really the one you adopted there is here. And you'll see the resolution. You have that kind of there. That is the required format for the state. You know, we're not, no particular big changes. Of course, we reflected the changes in the water and sewer rates. That's probably the biggest change coming up for this next year, with a 10% rate increase in sewer rates and a 3% increase in water rates starting July 1. And that will be impacting our budget a little. Then, of course, the addition of the position assistant to myself, Corey, who is in Rome. But he sent a couple of emails from Rome, so he was making sure that we had missed to invite someone to the meeting the other day, and I thought that was pretty nice that the kid is emailing from Rome, and he was thinking about that we had might have missed something, so
yeah.
That tells you a lot,
yeah,
actually. And he was having a good time.
Yeah.
So, we've already been through this enough, so this is pretty much our tax rate's the same, can't change that, so.
Okay. At this time, I'd ask for public comment on the fiscal year 2015-2016 budget as presented. Is there any public comment at this time? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and ask the council for deliberations on the budget. Is there any deliberations? Discussion? Hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the FY 2015-2016 budget for the City of La Pine?
So moved.
Moved and seconded to approve the FY 2015-2016 budget as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved.
Just to make sure, just to, if you go to that second page, make sure that you you also are authorizing the closing and categorizing of the tax. So why don't you, you never said that in any of that, so why don't you just, why don't you make a motion to just make sure that your guys are clear on that. So. See, that's where you're authorizing the tax rate of $1.98.
Oh, okay.
There's two pieces here. One is the resolution making on appropriations, and the second piece is the resolution imposes and categorizes the tax.
Okay.
So, why don't you just read that paragraph and just get another motion.
All right. Resolution imposing categorizing the tax, be it resolved that a valorem property taxes are hereby imposed upon the assessed value of all taxable property within the district for tax year 2015-2016 in the amount of $246,683 or at the rate of $1.98 per thousand of assessed value for permanent rate tax. These taxes are hereby categorized for purposes of Article 11, Section 11B as subject to and within the general government limitation.
So you just get a vote on that.
Is there a motion?
Part of that original resolution.
Yeah, so moved.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously.
Thanks.
Okay. So we will move to item 8A, which is I'm going to call this tobacco prevention, and let our guests come forward.
What's the best way for everyone? If I just kind of stand on the corner here,
you know,
and kind of talk.
Yeah, you can go up and stand by that if you'd like. If you're going to point to it, so you guys can stand wherever you're talking to.
Yeah, we'll start
room
here, and we'll kind of.
It's great to have you both here. Sorry about that snafu getting you, but you're here. And
sure.
I told them it was a perfect night to add them. So, and I think we were supposed to have already had her on the agenda.
Well.
And bringing our deputy director of the library down, I told him we haven't got to work with them for a while.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much for having me this evening. I appreciate it. And so this morning, I just want to talk about basically what we're seeing currently in our community around emerging tobacco products. Next slide, please. And I'll be queuing. I don't have a clicker. So
and let me add to the record that this is Penny Pritchard, Tobacco Prevention Coordinator for Deschutes County Health Services. That's okay.
And so continuing on, so my purpose tonight is to inform you about emerging tobacco products and discuss the prevalence of these flavored tobacco products among youth in particular. And in addition, I want to provide a recommendation to the City Council on behalf of Tobacco Prevention and Education Program, also known as TPEP is what we call ourselves for short. So if you ever hear TPEP around the state, so Tobacco Prevention Education Program. Next slide, please. So, and next slide, please. So, going into emerging tobacco products. So, currently, I want to go ahead and share some information about e-cigarettes. Does everybody know what an e-cigarette is? Okay, has everyone seen one? So, I like to have a little goodie basket here. This is my candy jar, is what we have. As you can see, it's basically enticing youth. We've got, I'll pass it around, you can smell it. It smells like candy. Essentially, to go into e-cigarettes, so we've got different forms of e-cigarettes. So we've got, and I'll pass these around here. So basically, this is our disposable e-cigarette here, which was up until recently could be sold to minors until House Bill 2546 just passed. So e-cigarettes, the sale of e-cigarettes to minors is now prohibited, takes effect immediately, which is what Governor Brown signed May 27th. So as you can see, so this is basically looks like a pin. So, and this is basically, you can't unscrew it. This is just you inhale it and the e-liquids are already inside. So this
is the sale illegal and the smoking or just
right,
the sale?
Right, sale and possession. Mm-hmm. So I'll go ahead and pass this your way. So there's a little plastic tip or rubber tip I'll keep. So then, so that's the disposable one. And then this is the most concerning piece. This is our multi-use. And this is basically you unscrew it like this, and you can put the chemicals inside here. So what we're primarily concerned with right now, so these are, there's varying different chemicals. So I'll go into the concerns and what we, what we're seeing in public health and what we believe to be harmful. And, you know, there isn't a whole lot of research as of now. We don't have 50 years of saying they're, you know, they're cancerous and things like we do with cigarettes. So I'm going to refrain from saying that they cause cancer, but we do have reason to believe that they could potentially cause cancer because we see some of the same chemicals found in some products, such as formaldehyde, benzene, and so some of the chemicals that we already know that do cause cancer. They're in some products, but maybe not in others. So it's really hard because they've been unregulated. And so as you can see, I'll pass these around. These are the liquids that they vary in size, they vary in flavor. They're no longer called tobacco. This one's bubblegum flavored, so they're very appealing to youth. And I'll actually show a slide here in a second about the data that we're seeing with youth who are using these. So basically you unscrew this and you put this in here, and so then you put it back. And there's a battery that's actually inside here that actually is, when you turn it on, it heats it up and it's not charged. So you can charge it with a USB cord or port. And so this is actually what teachers and, you know, other like law enforcement are having a really hard time identifying what this is with kids, because they, you know, they're in the classroom and they're using them. And so it's really hard to see, you know, to identify as a tobacco product or a nicotine product, because it looks like an educational material, right? It looks like a highlighter or something else. So this has actually been a very big concern with teachers in particular, who can't identify that kids are in class using this. So that's one concern. Another concern here is that, so when e-cigarettes first came out, we had these little bottles, and infants were ingesting these full bottles because they're labeled bubblegum, raspberry, blueberry, gummy bear, root beer flavored, and so it's hard to identify them. If you can't read, it's hard to identify them as a nicotine product that is harmful for infants. And so as you can see, this is actually a kid product. This is a kid toy, and so that's just, you know, emulating the bottle. So that's our concern. We've actually had, since e-cigarettes have come out over the past few years, we've actually seen the Centers for Disease Prevention and Control has had an increasing amount of calls to the Poison Center. And unfortunately, we had one death in Florida as a result of ingesting a full bottle of the nicotine. So these are concerning. So next slide, please. So I will also say, to go on to the e-cigarette, but that we're also concerned about the multi-use inhalant delivery devices. Now, actually, House Bill 2546 refers to inhalant delivery device, and that includes, the language in the law includes cannabinoids and any, you know, nicotine, tobacco-flavored, any of those kinds of products. So there's a big concern about dual use for marijuana as well with these kinds of inhalant delivery devices. So next, please. And so this is also, I should mention that we were hearing from law enforcement as well that they're also concerned about not being able to identify marijuana from e-cigarettes. So a lot of businesses have been wanting to implement tobacco-free or marijuana-free, policies as a result, just to kind of clear up the confusion that a lot of people are experiencing, they're predicting to experience. So there's a lot of concern about that. Next slide. So really, why should we be concerned about this? So I want to really talk a lot about marketing tactics by the tobacco industry here. And this is really concerned because, you know, in 2009 we banned candy flavored cigarettes. However, we made some exceptions in that law. There are some loopholes in which we still have flavored cigarillos. And I'll show a data slide here. So here's some of the, and this is a concern because actually when kids, 90%, our data shows us 90% of daily smokers started before the age of 18. And there's a reason why. So essentially, people who started before the age of 19, like kids per se, they're more receptive to being addictive. And so when your brain's developing, you're more susceptible to addiction. And so that's how you become addicted to tobacco products. And so it's a big, and we know that we've the tobacco industry historically has marketed to youth, and they continue to do so with local policies, state policies, and federal policies as well. So we've got a lot of concern here. So this is part of the reasons what we're looking at right now. Next slide, please. So here's, so I will use, so I'll go up here and walk around. So this is our 2013 Oregon Healthy Teens Survey data, and here you can see, I don't know if you can really see that so well from the back, can you see blue and purple? Mm-hmm. So here you can see, this is our traditionally smoked cigarettes, and whereas we have seen a decline in high school students and middle school students smoking less cigarettes, however, we have seen a significant increase in trending over hookah use. Smokeless tobacco products, cigarillos are very popular. And here's our nicotine or electronic cigarette data. And that's telling you, so we'll actually be asking more comprehensive questions. We'll have more data coming out this year. So we've had to basically change our surveys to catch up with these new tobacco emerging products. And then here's our menthol cigarettes. Where we banned flavored tobacco or flavored candy cigarettes, we did not ban mint flavored, which is huge because that's, again, masks the taste of, you know, yucky tobacco taste. It's what kids, it's easier for them, it numbs their throat, so it's easier for them to try and like smoking. And so here you can see, so unfortunately, this dark purple graph, this is actually Deschutes County 11th graders here. And this light graph is actually state average. And so here you can see across the board that Deschutes County 11th graders and 8th graders have higher prevalence of tobacco use across all tobacco products. And so here is middle school, here's the 8th graders. This is Deschutes County, this is the state average. And so you can see in all categories, Deschutes County youth have a higher rate of tobacco use.
Except in the newer electronic stuff.
Right, actually that is actually this, we do have 2014 data that just came out, and so it is actually flipped. And so we actually are seeing
higher than the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. Now you can't add all those together.
Nope.
Because that would mean that 75% of them are smoking.
Right,
something.
Yeah.
So we'll do it all.
Right, so we're very careful in the way we analyze data. We actually look at the statistics and look at, you know, we're very careful to generalize, especially around youth, because we don't want to just say kids are just smoking. So we take this, we look at the way surveys, we have another survey, the student wellness survey, that seems to lack participation, so I don't really use that data as much. So very careful about what data we use and make sure that we have representation from youth, so we participate in the survey. Next slide, please. So as far as why do youth like these products, next slide, please. So there's a few things. So they're sweet, as I mentioned. You know, we've got a variety of different flavors. So this is our bubblegum flavored shisha. So I talked about hookah use. Hookah, do you guys all know what hookah is? So hookah is a water pipe that you inhale. And so it's like Middle Eastern traditional. So we actually do have an e-hookah now on the market to kind of emulate that for those. So marketing to the hookahs, you know, totally different than, you know, Middle Eastern water pipe that's been used. But this is, this e-hookah stick is now, and it's strawberry, banana strawberry. Thank you. And so this is something that's been very prevalent in our youth, especially our 11th graders. We've seen in this last year, we saw the rates of hookah use also increase significantly. And here's bubblegum flavored shisha. So this is molasses wrapped tobacco, which is bubblegum flavored. And so I don't know, and you know, I should say I don't know actually, I do know that in fact, when we look at flavor use with our adult population, it's just not as prevalent. And so we know that kids like this flavored tobacco. So this is also, so this is what you put in the hookah, and then you smoke the you smoke this in the hookah. So this is, and kids primarily think it's less harmful because it's not cigarettes, right? We grew up thinking that cigarettes are, you know, cancerous. And so this is a lot of education we still need to get out to kids and let them know that it's just as harmful and even sometimes more harmful because we're seeing, we know that we're seeing high rates of benzene, kids being exposed to benzene when they're using hookah. So that's something that we also need to keep our eye on out and educate our youth as well. So as far as continuing on with sweets, so again, as I mentioned, here are single cigars. Here are their different flavors. We've got orange, strawberry, and raspberry flavored. And so these are, here's our bubblegum flavors. So these are, again, more appealing to youth. Again, not targeting the adult population. Because kids, next slide, please. So kids are, ideally, you know, they're very receptive to flavor. And so as you can see that these products are, you know, they're not called tobacco traditionally. They're, you know, they're bubblegum flavored e-juice. So it's, you really have to rethink of, you know, when we call something tobacco, what we're really talking about. Next slide, please. So there was actually, so, you know, I could say, like, this is candy, but, you know, we actually do have research that shows, next slide, please. We actually do have research from Portland State that shows that this is, that they found, it was a chemical analysis, that they found the same flavorings, chemical flavorings found in candy as they do with tobacco. And so this is the slide, this is the data, and I included that in there. Yes.
Is all of this candy?
No. This primarily, so there should have been another one.
Bubble
so this is, made. That bubblegum is made in Bend, yes. This brand in particular is made in Bend. And that's, So this is, these were bought, you know, at local convenience stores, and at the time we weren't prohibiting the use to minors, so this was readily available in convenience stores. It wasn't a special smoke shop or anything that you needed to go to. So next slide, please. So going back to the single cigarillos, so again, this is primarily a concern because they're cheap. And so whereas in the law we had, you know, we had banned single cigarettes from use, from being sold, we required a minimum pack. We don't have that with these little cigarillos. And so that's also a concern because they're easy to get for price-sensitive youth. We know that research shows that kids who don't have disposable income are more likely to afford, you know, a 50-cent cigarillo as opposed to a $6 pack of cigarettes. And so they're easier to obtain. So next slide, please. So they're free. So I will go ahead and pass around. So this is, so where we've also restricted promotions on, you know, cigarettes, and we still have this issue that we allow price discounting, and this is a big concern because it's another way that is more affordable for youth to start using tobacco products. And so this is my free e-cigarette I picked up from a convenience store from one of those coupons I'm passing around. So this is how the tobacco industry shows you a product. They give you a free cigarette, and this is again the charger that goes with it. And so, as you know, so there's no cartridge in here, so it's just to give you this, and then they send you another coupon. Basically, when this cartridge runs out, you get another free coupon in the mail shortly after, and basically you get free cartridges. And so you can recharge the cartridges, right, up until a certain amount. I think it's like 700. But then they eventually go out, and so then they send you. So they keep you interested in this product because, you know, when you're first learning about these products, you're like, well, what are they? What, you know, I don't know. It just seems cumbersome. I'm just going to stick to regular products, or I don't know. I'm just going to try whatever, you know, is easier or cheaper. These are actually, you know, when you buy them right now, as they're $10, this was $10, and so, which is fairly expensive, right? But when they send out those free promotions, there it's actually a gimmick to actually get youth hooked, and there's a lot of research behind price promotion to, you know, kids who are price sensitive. So here's this. So next slide, please. So I'll try to wrap this up here. Again, they are advertised. So we did a retail assessment in Deschutes County in 2013, and we found that seven out of 10 retailers, we did a sample of 108 retailers in the area, and we found that 7 out of 10 retailers put advertising below 3.5 feet tall, and we know from market research that that's specifically at the eye level of a child, because I'm 5'2", I'm fairly short, but I'm not seeing advertisements that's down here. So unfortunately, this is actually taken at a convenience store that's across the street from elementary school. And so I won't say where though. Next slide, please. So again, they're easy to get in our community because we've got price promotion, they're advertised. Up until recently, we didn't have any legislation in session, any laws in place. And so part of our retail assessment, we found that 1 out of 5 retailers sell within 1,000 feet of schools. And so this is a concern as well. To explain that this is a concern because we know that from research, when kids are within when tobacco retailers are within 1,000 feet of school, there's a higher prevalence of tobacco use amongst kids. So that's directly correlated. Next slide, please. So this is, as I mentioned, they're easy to get. So this is our SINAR program. Is anybody familiar with the SINAR program? These are inspections that the Addictions and Mental Health State Health, the Addictions and Mental Health Division do out of the state. So they come down and inspect retailers to make sure that they're complying with the law and making sure that they're not selling to youth or minors. And so here you can see that this is actually our in 2013-14, we actually had a higher number of retailers selling illegally to minors compared to the state average. And so this is, and it varies because our inspections, actually our whole SINAR program is not well funded, so these inspections vary from retailers. So this data is to show a point, but really you have to take it with a grain of salt because it's not that all retailers are inspected and that really give a true representation of retailers who maybe are complying. However, the ones that we are inspecting are selling illegally. And so this is a big concern as well in our community and actually across the state of Oregon. Next slide, please. So here you can see that actually Oregon is one of few states that does not have a tobacco retail licensing program. And so how we can address this issue is start looking at ways that we can actually as a community look at is it feasible to create a tobacco retail licensing program where we hold our community and our retailers accountable. And I want to say that there are amazing retailers out there. In fact, I've worked with a lot of them, and I think that I don't want to say that they're bad retailers. I'm just saying what the data that we've seen so far, talking with the FDA and our SINAR program, that this is an issue. So next slide, please. So this is something that Deschutes County does have jurisdiction to create a tobacco retail licensing program if that's something that our counselors wanted to do, our Board of County Commissioners wanted to do. This is something that would help resolve part of the issue to youth access. However, it would also, it wouldn't create, you know, a total reduction in tobacco use. It's looking at like price promotion, looking at flavored tobacco products across the board. These are all issues that are concerning for youth. So, and I think next slide. So that's just what I said. So this would actually basically help us. So tobacco retail licensing program to further, it's supposed to be a self-sustaining program. There is supposed to be a fee that is applied to retailers, just like the OLCC does, and it should not cost anything to communities if it's done well and done correctly. Yes?
Annie, she was asking what, maybe I missed it, this whole thing upsets me, but what age can the kids get this? I mean, are they able to get into the stores at 10 or 11 and get these cigarettes?
So I don't know specifically the actual data on the ages. I don't look at that specifically. I just know that they're minors. And so I do know that one decoy was 16 years old, and that's as much as I know about that. Any other questions?
Yeah, how stiff are the penalties for selling them to kids under 18?
So currently there is there's a $500 penalty that the FDA is issuing, which is a steep fine for especially small businesses. And so we tried to, I worked with Larry Brown with the OLCC a few months ago in here, and we invited retailers with the Think Again Parents group to educate retailers about these issues and how they can be retailers. So it's really, or how they can be heroes. It's really about educating our retailers more. However, we had a low attendance at that event too, despite the fact we tried to advertise and get everybody to come to the event. So it's a tricky, you know, it's a tricky thing. They keep saying, oh no, we understand, but then, you know, sometimes, you know, we go to inspect them and then they're still selling. So, and it's not necessarily that they are, you know, promoting that with their employees or anything like that. It's just maybe there's a lack of education. I want to hope that there is a lack of education on just how to check IDs or something like that we can resolve. But so far, this is actually across the state of Oregon. This is actually a major concern. Oregon actually has the highest number of retailers across the country that sell illegally to minors as well. In Deschutes County, you know, that 2013-14 data just showed that we had higher than state average. So
do they have a progressive fee like with the alcohol? You know, they get caught the second time then?
No, there's a one-time $500 fee, and so there's a lot of loopholes that we have not addressed. So
yeah, I would think that would be the first thing they'd want to do. You know, if they're going to make the mistake once, make sure that they make it again.
Well, and it's also hard. But the hardest part is that because our sign-our program is not it's not well funded. It's hard to have the inspectors go out and inspect all the retailers at least once a year. I mean, not even, you know, you're just talking once a year, and who knows? I mean, if you had multiple random inspections like you do with the OLCC, that would be best case scenario, but unfortunately, we just don't have that funding.
Is there any further movement on the part of the legislature in Oregon to close this down or?
So I'm not allowed to talk about legislation right now because okay. They're currently in session, but I would advise, or nope, can't even say that. So
okay.
So all right.
Go to your library and
yes,
we'll
exactly.
Find out.
Exactly. Exactly.
any questions here, counselors?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is me again, but it always amazes me. We can have shortage of food and shortage of jobs and shortage of everything else that's essential in life, but there's never a shortage of addictive appliances or avenues or something, all these gateway drugs, I call them all drugs, going on. Just as beyond my comprehension. I just don't get it. I don't understand why they can even get this far, get to the kids. Why do they allow such, you know, banana and grape and blueberry?
I would say it's definitely I would say a lot of this. So point of sale, what I was just talking about, was in the convenience stores, and it's 90% of the tobacco industry's marketing budget is spent at point of sale and looking at how they're setting up their power walls. And so it's heavily influenced. It's not by random. It's definitely targeted, it's tough because it does put a burden on our community. In 2013, Deschutes County spent $38.1 million on tobacco-related healthcare issues. And that's, that's concerning. It costs us a lot, and we also lost a lot of lives that year as well. It's related to tobacco illness. So it's a burden on our communities, and it is infuriating that we allow these carcinogenic products in our community. Yeah. But we have to work together and, you know, make these decisions together to see what we can do. So without further ado, I would like to just say that our commissioners would like to convene all the cities to discuss this in a more comprehensive way. I'm not saying that they support a tobacco retail licensing program. I do not know that. But they are concerned about this issue and what we can do comprehensive as all our cities together. So.
Stu, you had a question?
I was just wondering, maybe it's better directed at the library, but I would imagine these products are taxed like cigarettes. No?
No. So.
Surprising.
So we still have lots of work to do, and this is why we call them emerging tobacco products, because they come out so fast and we have to get behind them, and we have to be educated, and we have to work to move to make our decisions here locally. So that's sometimes it's hard with the state, you know, because it can be so slow, but we can work within our jurisdiction to make these decisions.
Penny, I'd like to hear from our assistant director.
Yes.
About you know, the library's focus on all
yeah,
of this.
Yeah.
Please.
Sure.
So, well, because of many of the reasons that Penny talked about and some other reasons I'll go into, we're coming up with a new plan to address these concerns. And just to back up a little bit, the library is a special district with the boundaries of the county. We have an elected board. I'm sure you all know this, but I just want to review it just to make sure. We have an elected board. South County representative is Martha Lawler from Lapine, and she's great. We love having her on the board. But one of the initiatives that the board, or we call them results, but they're essentially goals or missions, is we create warm and welcoming spaces, warm and welcoming facilities, which, as you can imagine, in a public place, that's not always easy, because there's a lot of different things that are happening in public places. And in the past, just like a lot of government buildings, we have those little stickers on our doors that say, no smoking within 10 feet of this door. And, you know, the staff have a hard time, you know, negotiating with people to move them away, and really they're only moving, you know, another couple feet away, and the door's open, the smoke gets sucked in to the library. There's a gauntlet, there tends to be a gauntlet at some of our locations where there's a number of people standing around smoking outside the front doors of the library, so a young family has to walk through that type of gauntlet, through that smoke, to get into the library, as well as through an experience where, you know, children are seeing these people vaping or smoking and thinking that's an exceptional thing, or not exceptional, but a acceptable thing for them to do. So the library started looking at a smoke-free campus, and one of the first things I did was found some stats on one of our databases. It's called Demographics Now. It's an awesome database that we have available for everybody in the public, and it gives you all kinds of really local information that can drill down to census blocks. So if you guys are ever doing some kind of study regarding what are the demographics of an area, even at a census block level, this database will give you some riches in that way. And one of the aspects of that is attitudes, the attitudes of a census block or a county on a specific issue. And one of the questions was, do you agree with increasing bans on cigarette on tobacco use? And 57% of Deschutes County said yes. So after I read that, I thought, okay, this isn't going to be that too hard of a battle. And then I called Penny, and she said, yes, this is a good battle. I'll be there. I'll work with you and make this happen. So we've been investigating smoke-free campuses, and we're going to do a little bit more to hear from the public. We're going to do, with Penny's help, we're putting together a survey that will ask people as they're entering our library, or if they're entering our webpage, to see what their concerns are about it, their attitudes are about it, and hopefully we'll move forward with smoke-free campuses. So all of our libraries will have signage, and then our staff will be trained to in a caring way, let people know that, you know, this is not a place that they can vape or smoke, but give them a card that recommends some places that they can contact to end their addiction. So that's what we're planning. That's what we're looking at right now. And Penny's been an awesome asset for us to move forward with that. But I just wanted to make sure, when Penny's going around talking to people, that we also educate our city councilors and all of our locations that the library is considering that. The exciting thing is the library just signed an MOU with the transit system, with CET. And one of the things I put in the MOU was that the COIC, CET, would support any library policy. We have bus stops in front of 3-4 of our six libraries. And so what happens around bus stops, as you're probably well aware of, is there is a lot of smoking there. So I was a little concerned about CET being able to support the library's policy around that because so many of their clients were smoking. Well, apparently they had the same concern, and now they're on board wanting to go through the same process and try to create smoke-free campuses as well. So I think there's a movement afoot to kind of create healthy, safe public spaces for all of us, and that's where we are right now with that.
Okay. Any questions here? Conrad?
The most important thing is telling students, I mean, like, you can tell the city councilors about how harmful it is, but I've heard from countless students, you know, vape is so much healthier for you, you don't get any of the bad stuff. And so if that's what they're thinking, they're not going to stop. And so I've been impressed with the cigarette ads running on TV of the people who see those terrible things happen to their bodies. Because I don't think kids want to do harm to themselves. Mm-hmm. That's not something that they're going to go around doing if they know it's bad. But like our counselors can know, and it can be illegal, but if kids don't think it's bad for them, it's not hard to get around illegal things. So I would say probably one of the most important things is letting kids know how dangerous it is, because it is marketed to them. And if they don't know that it's bad for them, then even if it's illegal, it's not going to stop them. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. You want a job? So I will say, yes, we do realize there's a comprehensive approach is what we like to call it. And that is exactly what we've done. We have one of our high school students from Bend. She volunteered to be part of our Smoke-Free Oregon Heroes campaign. And basically she talks about how her peers see vaping and see these products. And so we actually created a commercial that we will be airing on TV and actually youth focused. So the state is buying, they have the media budget to buy. We don't have the budget in Deschutes County specifically, but they do the buying for us. And so they'll be on the radio, it'll be on it. And we also did it with Think Again Parents Group. We highlighted their concerns from the teacher and parent perspective on the concerns about e-cigarettes and these flavored tobacco products. And they did a great job. Lori, Cindy, and Barbie all participated. And then we also did another commercial with the grocery outlet retailer, highlighting retailers who can be heroes and not sell tobacco products or not advertise to kids. They can still sell products. But we've been sharing, we also have a college student too who talks about her struggles of being addicted and how hard it is to quit and how she really values exercising and it's really hard for her to be addicted to, and she's having a hard time quitting. And so she talks about her struggles and sharing that with peers, and so speaking to the younger generations was our focus there. So you're right on. So you're gonna have to recruit you.
Mm-hmm. Council, any further questions or comments?
Can I give one of your cards?
Absolutely.
Keep up the good work.
Great, thank you.
I have one for the
party. And the library.
I've been reading over time here how the library is faced with the issues of the electronic age, mm-hmm. and they've got these monuments to books built, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of flexibility there other than the computer rooms and that they have in the library. So would you mind just speaking to the idea of where does the library see itself going in the next 20 years?
You bet. I think our library district is very innovative. I think one of the things, we are not going to get rid of our facilities. We love our facilities. They're used for a lot of different things besides housing books. I think the idea of using facilities for housing books is way back in the past for us. I think right now we're focusing on how our facilities can be relevant to our communities. And with the new early learning space in Lapine right now, a space that encourages our preschool children to use the manipulatives to build for building blocks for early literacy, That's been really special. It's, you know, at first for a kid it looks like a McDonald's playland, but once they get in there and get involved, they're using a lot of the toys to help for building blocks for literacy. And that's been really exciting, especially in Lapine. We've been seeing some decrease in visits in Lapine and all across the district, but over the last year since we added that, it's been a double-digit percentage increase in visits at Lapine. So we're very happy to see that change. As far as the other big thing we're known for, books, we're still buying them, but they're not physical as much anymore. We've spent a lot of money. We've been very aggressive in building up our digital collection. So we have, it's funny, it's e-books. I don't even want to say e-books anymore. We have digital books.
Yeah.
We have digital books. We have digital magazines. We have music you can download for free and movies you can access for free. All for free from anywhere with your library card. You can, the fellow who's in Rome could be downloading a travel book for Rome from his Lapine library while he's in Rome. So that's been something very special, and we've put a lot of money into it, we've put a lot of focus into it, and right now that usage across the district is about 25% of the things that people check out are digital. So that, comparing to the rest of the country, the average is about 7 or 8% for most libraries. So we're over triple what we're seeing nationally, and people really love that. And I think part of the reason why people like it in a community like Deschutes County is that people live a long ways. A lot of people live pretty far away from the library. So it just makes it that much easier for them to access the kinds of things they want. So that's been really, really positive for us. So I think we're still going to think about places. We're always going to think about physical places and what we can create that's relevant for our communities. And then at the same time, we're going to keep providing content at any level and on any format that people want. And then we're still going to have really great, friendly staff that want to work with people, whether they visit them in a physical place or in the digital world. Our focus is to keep providing a really high level of customer service. So a lot of those things are still the same, you know, buildings, books, and people, but it's really changing in how we deliver those services, and will probably continue to change.
Wow, well.
And we can give you a full presentation if you're ever interested. I'd be happy to come and have someone from the library maybe even talk about the early learning spaces or whatever you're interested in. We'd love to come and visit and chat more about that.
I think that kind of information helps councils, mm-hmm. and helps the community. I'll just say that I went to Japan in the fall last year and bought 4 books to put on my iPhone that cost me $80 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't have an idea that I could come to our library.
Yeah.
And get those books out. So it's good information.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it to the council to think about
whatever aspect.
Your staff to set up a time, yeah. Maybe that you could come back.
Yeah, you bet.
Sure. We can
have
them.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
You have to check to make sure you got all your products.
This is the hard part. All right, everybody. Nobody swallowed anything, did they?
Oh, do you want this other one?
Let's see. Got it?
Yeah, let's see.
No, it's a pencil. Oh. Okay. I would like to take this opportunity we're at item number 9, and Just do a little preface here. 2 years ago, we implemented a student counselor program, and through the process, it brought Conrad Parker to the council as an ad hoc member, and we had nothing but great success with what you can example by tonight. You heard comments from that level, And that's important for us to understand that, because some of us older ones who have smoked more Swisher Sweets than you can imagine, get good, valid information from him. But he's also served the city well. He's off now to greater and bigger things and more years in school. And Stu, I would like for you to speak to Conrad's tenure.
Mary, he doesn't want me to.
Well, better you than me.
I don't know. It's hard to put into words, you know, something that when someone has done a good job and they enlightened us, you know, a little bit, and then it's kind of like one of your kids growing up. You know, last week I went to the awards ceremony over at the high school, and you know, it was the last time, you know, this guy graduated, you know, and I embarrassed him a little bit, I hope, there. But he takes his job serious, as he does with his schoolwork and his sports activities. He's a well-rounded person. I think he did bring a lot to the council, a lot of insight, a lot of good ideas, a lot of concerns, and we were able to address a few of them. And I just think, you know, he was a good experiment. You know, he was the first one we've had. And so I think he weathered the abuse well. And I'm glad that, Mr. Mayor, that you thought of the program, so which brought him here. And hopefully it will continue, and I think it will with our new one. So I just, you know, I'll just shut up now and be quiet.
Well, I will just add the last comments, and I'll ask the other counselors if they're inclined. But you know, you brought credit to the council and to the school system by being here, and I'm proud of the fact that the city council took the position to move forward on having a representative, because there aren't a lot of cities in the state that have them. There are a few, and they've all that, from what I understand, they're all successful. But I would challenge anyone to look past or to try to match up to the success that we've found in our representative Conrad Parker at the beginning. So my congratulations to you for taking on that extra. You're such a busy person, and taking on that extra responsibility and showing yourself in the public and well representing your age group, the school, and our community. So, council, anything?
Job well done.
Yep. Did a great job, and best of luck to you at college. I've invited him and, Sydney both to the small cities meeting on the 18th. And hopefully they're going to make it so we can introduce the program to the cities in our district.
Wonderful.
I've told them about it, but I think it'd be really neat for them to see the, you know, the level that we reach with these two. And I'm sure Sydney's going to do a great job too.
Yeah.
Conrad, great job.
Thank you.
Kathy? Yeah, it's been fun having him here, and I just wish him all the luck. It's fun seeing you on TV and in the papers, and everywhere you turn, there he is. So you've done a great job, and good luck to you at school, and we'll see you around, I think. And welcome, Sydney.
Yeah, and with that, I'd like for you to introduce the current prospective representative of Phillip Pine High School.
First of all, I want to say thank you. This has been an experience that I could have never guessed I was going to participate in my first game as a freshman in high school. But it's been an honor. I've got to see how small government works and how things roll. So I'm excited to pass it on to another person. This is probably one of the brightest freshmen I've ever met. This is Cindy Bright. And I just have nothing but good things to say about her. She participates in sports just like I do, works hard in school, very friendly, outgoing person, and so I think as far as my pick to replace me, she was high on the list, and so just great to see someone else doing it who I can trust will do a good job, and so I hope that she enjoys it and gets the same pleasure I got out of it. So that's all I would have to say. Thank you for the experience, and hopefully she'll enjoy it.
Anything you'd like to say, Sydney?
Well, I'm Sydney, everyone. And I'm a sophomore at Lapine High. This is my first year of high school, and so at the end of this year, I ran for this position and was elected by my student body. And I'm really excited to serve on the council. I love being involved with the community. Over the last year, I've been a really big part in FBLA with Future Business Leaders of America and going to chamber breakfasts and really like getting more involved with the community than I ever have been before. And so I feel really excited to be a part of this. And I know they're pretty high expectations, but I hope that I can live up to them.
You'll just have Conrad looking over your shoulder. That's all. So, well, I, on behalf of the city and the council, I would like to welcome you. We'll finish the paperwork up and come back and, you know, we will have invites to you like this Small Cities, which is a great organization. And you get to see other cities that are small like us. So I think that would be a great opportunity for you. And we'll definitely look forward to you in the fall. But and I would like to have a round of applause for our Thank you. Item number 10 on the agenda this evening is approval of a professional services agreement with Tammy Risco Planning Consultant. Staff?
Yep. Well, you all got a chance to meet Tammy. She's in the back. Why don't you come up, Tammy?
Sure.
Come sign right here and get you on the record. And you can tell everyone about you. You know, we're obviously been looking for someone to take over our planning services with Bill Adams, who resigned and is doing other things, although he's finishing up things he's working on, so he's still working with us. So we did an RFP, put out a request for proposals and folks to apply either as an individual, as an employee, or a contract. And in the past, we've done it as a contract with Deborah and Bill. And this is how Tammy came along. She responded to that process, and then her and I visited, and she came down and met. We've been going back and forth. And of the group of people, I think of those that had responded to us, she was the one that I thought would do the best job for us. And it's a position we need to get filled. So what I have before you is our standard professional services agreement that we would have that Jeremy has made up. And in fact, I took the one that we did with Bill. It was not that long ago, a year ago. So, and changed it for her. And she still has her attorney looking at different parts of it. So what I'd like you to do tonight, ultimately the motion would be to authorize me to negotiate a contract with Tammy to be our contract planner so that we can get her going as soon as we get that all worked out. Prior to that, maybe you could introduce yourself.
Sure.
To the audience here and for the record, you know, your experience. And
sure, absolutely. I think I've met everybody, at least briefly, but just in case I missed anybody. I am a native Oregonian, grew up in Elkton, Oregon, another small town like Lapine. Went to undergrad in Portland almost 18 years ago now. And my husband and I traveled around the countryside with the Air Force for the last 17 years. So I have had the opportunity to work in cities and counties and states across the country, trying to gather a a fun repertoire of great lessons learned at different size cities with different size problems. I'm a certified planner as well as a licensed civil engineer. So the first part of my career was doing a lot of planning, but a lot of engineering as well. And that's when I got my PE license first. And then realizing I really like this planning aspect of my work, which I was doing a lot of transportation and land use planning at that time, and decided I wanted to get the planning certification as well. Went to a master's program at Harvard to get some of that background in the city planning and city management aspect of it. And the last 3 years I've been working on the Gulf Coast, helping them post-Katrina recover in Mississippi. And not just the recovery effort, they've gotten through a lot of that, but now it's building sustainable communities, building unique communities that people want to visit and people want to live in, and that financially can sustain themselves, and doing a lot of land use. And it's interesting to see the parallels. We're across the country from Mississippi now, but a lot of parallels in my last 3 years with some of the opportunities and challenges that Lapine has. My husband and I came back here a year ago. We live in Bend, and have been very excited to have the opportunity to come home and settle at home and stay here. He is no longer active duty. He's in the National Guard. And so we are masters of our own destiny for the first time, and really excited to call Oregon home yet again. I was excited to see the RFP again and talk to Rick. Excited not just because it's a job. You know, I told Rick, if you're looking for somebody to just process papers and answer phones, I can do that, but that's not what gets me excited. And what I'm excited about Lapine is your opportunities. Yeah, you're at the ground level to do some fantastic things. And it might take a little time because work at baby steps and do things that the community wants and the community is behind you on, but I'm excited to see the opportunities of where Lapine can go, and I think you're at the forefront of Deschutes County of some neat opportunities, so hope that I can be involved and help you with that.
All right.
That's great. I know we've all had a chance to talk with you, mm-hmm. and that's been rewarding. Any other comments, Counselor?
No, just welcome. Good to have you here, and
thank
ready
you.
For you to
get
going.
Thanks.
Okay. I think what we'll do at this point in time is follow the request of the city manager to approve a professional agreement or authorize the city manager to negotiate a contract with Tammy Wisco as a planning consultant.
And sign
the agreement. And is there any discussion around that? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion now? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
It's opposed. It's unanimous. So thank you very much, City Manager. And Tammy, thanks for coming tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
We're an item.
You can go home now because you stayed longer than you were.
Not on the payroll yet, right?
No.
Okay. We're in item 11, other matters. Are there any other, We got through those, so let's go to public comments at this time.
No, we have
one more. Oh, I'm sorry. There's another one. The land use planning.
The
amendment to, number 01. Why is that on the agenda?
Well, because it was added.
Okay. Okay. I guess it was.
What this is, I'd like you to authorize me to work out this agreement with ODOT on First Street. It's the same thing we had to do in front of City Hall. It's a agreement that they want to make sure that we're going to mow it and take care of it if we build it. So they got the grant next week. ODOT, the commission's going to approve the $150,000 plus with our money. But then again, they want to make very clear that Scott is going to mow and fertilize it. And that the ODOT trucks are not watering and fertilizing it. And if it was up to them to water and fertilize, it would be gravel. Because that's what they do. So we It's the same. We had to do that out here. That has to be in writing and signed. Now I have to work through a couple things with them. Scott reviewed it and reviewed the one here just to make sure they were about the same, and they are pretty much. There's a couple little changes. So I've emailed the person putting this together. However, they don't move forward with anything until this is signed. As you notice, the project, they were going to take a couple weeks off while they're getting all this stuff together. So we don't meet again until July 9th.
Right.
So I need to make sure you just authorize me to assign. I'm going to have Jeremy review it. He reviewed the last one, and so we can get going on it.
Oh.
And this commits, I mean, I think that it obviously we're committing to that we are going to, in fact, take care of. We're going to pay the light bill on the lights, which, I mean, I think you're all aware of all of that. You know that that comes with it. We'll contract out the mowing and the watering, well, you know, all that kind of stuff like we do here. And I think when that one's done, this, I think we'll go out and rebid it all. So it's a far cheaper way for us to do it than have our own crews mowing and things. We don't have the equipment. And then the other thing is building it. They're giving us $150,000. We don't have the contractors bidding. And that's one of my questions that Scott came up with as well. You know, we don't know what the total cost is going to be yet. So what we need to do is figure out some sort of a insert some sort of a cap in here of X amount for the construction, because unlike this job, we bid it and we're in control of it, and so we knew what it was going to cost. They told us they were giving us X. We knew we had to pay the difference. In this case, this is going under the state contract for the guy that's bidding, that's building it. Wait, yeah, won't be our contract. So I need to make sure is how does that all work? So.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what it'll be. It's about $250,000 project that they're giving us $150,000. We'll be putting in $100,000. We may have to put in $110,000. We may put in $75,000. You know, we don't know where that'll end up. But that's what I want to firm up in here is a little more of it before we sign it.
Okay. Any comments or questions at this time, Council? Hearing none. Then is there a motion to authorize the city manager to work through this amendment number 01 to the Cooperative Improvement Agreement and sign the document?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's unanimously approved. And that brings us to public comments. Now this is serious, but it's coming.
Yeah. You're not kidding. This is real serious. Don Greiner, I live at 1649 Charlotte Day Drive in Lapine. And the first thing I'd like to do is say good luck to Conrad and best wishes. And that comes from Audrey and I both. And we sincerely wish you success in your future endeavors. And Sydney, congratulations. We'll see you on board. So I come to a lot of meetings, so I'll probably see you. The next thing I'd like to say is I'd like to thank the city volunteers that came out and did the cleanup this last weekend. They did a terrific job. And especially the part between Little Deschutes Lodge 2 and Crescent Creek. They cleaned that all up along that walkway. It really looks nice, and it's something that we can really be proud of and be commended on. Now, one thing that I think that would be nice of the council to do is to instruct our city manager to write a real nice letter to the Homeowners Association of Crescent Creek. They've got some money in their account. They charge us a fee every month. And it seems like about the only thing we get to see is in the wintertime, if it snows an inch or two, they move it off the sidewalk, but not much else is done. And maybe with a little jolt from the city council through the our city manager, with the council behind it saying, hey, it would certainly be nice if you would clean up your section between the pathway and Huntington Street. And I think I've asked them before to get it done. And I know we've tried, but because the Homeowners Association is controlled by the people who own the lots, that have not been built on, then that kind of means that it doesn't make a difference what we say, they go ahead and change. And I'm not even sure if they pay homeowners association dues if there's no house there. But I think maybe a little gentle reminder or nudge from the city council and our city manager might do the job to get them to come in and really clean it up good. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Are there any further public comments? Hearing none, I'll go to staff comments.
None? Really, unless you have any questions. Obviously, we've had a lot of meetings this week. We've got food trays and people here. Started on Monday, and they haven't left. So,
okay.
Not too much.
City Council? Anything?
Well, we did have the LED meeting, LED meeting,
mm-hmm.
and our LED representative is here. Janet, do you have anything to do?
I'm going to do a quarterly update at the next council meeting.
She's going to be our July meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was very informative, so I think everyone will look forward to that.
It'll be the day after our strategic planning meeting. So
which brings me to just on that July. We were going to go to the following week and have a meeting, but the mayor was going to be out of town, so we'll just have one meeting in July. We'll have it on that Wednesday.
Right, no, not the 8th.
But Anderson Perry wants to come at 4:30, so we have an hour and a half to go over the Kegel project. Maybe we'll include prices, what they think it's going to cost for updates, and so if that's what you'd like to do, because I don't think you want to do it at the regular meeting. You know, that kind of a thing, because it, you know, that's one of those hour-long type things. So I thought we'd have a work session out here for an hour or so.
4:30.
Have it at 4:30, and then, you know.
Council?
Is that?
Yeah,
sounds good.
Sounds
good. Consensus.
Okay, so they'll plan that about 4:30, and then we'll have our regular 6:30.
Okay. Anything else, Council? Anything you want to? You might talk about your small cities. Do you have anything there you want to say?
Just everybody be reminded that next week, Thursday at 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock, you're all invited. It's the small cities meeting. We'll have people from District 6, which.
Maupin,
Rufus, Condon. Sisters, Culbert,
mm-hmm.
and a few other ones that may or may not be here. The farther they are from us, the less likely, I would say.
Do we know yet? They probably not too early.
Christy should be letting you know soon. Christy Merrick from Ellison. She will have a head count and everything.
That'll be important for lunch.
Yeah. I can contact her tomorrow if you want me to, and make sure that she gets that.
Do you know the LLC?
Yeah.
Christy
Merrick.
I think I know who she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can give her
a call. It may take, probably, you know, those people sign up late, and then we'll just have to guess a little.
Yeah, so you guys are all invited. It's not a public meeting, but at least none of the ones I've been to have been, so.
No, they're not a council meeting.
Yeah.
Anything else? Hearing none, then I'll just add some comments. And that really is around the cleanup day. We had a great event. We had about 125 people. They were everywhere. We had groups from churches, from youth organizations. The Blue Lightning Mat Club took care of Burgess. And really loaded up bags. We had the Mormon Church was here with their group, cleaned up the whole fire station around there. I'm sorry that I don't have a list of all that participated, but it was a wonderful turnout. 28 National Guard youth cadets came along, Challenge Youth Cadets, and two of their leaders. And also the director of that community services program is out here too, who actually lives in Lapine and has told me more than once since he's been appointed, you know, if you've got anything that you want done, just give us a call. We'd love to come out here and find. So there's a resource for nonprofit. You know, it can't be on public work, public property, but and it really it just went well. It was we had some hardworking people. We had very few expenses other than the food, and I think it sets that edge for all the things we were talking about and hearing about now about the assessment and what the community wants. They want beautification. They want to clean up the town. They want storefronts that are looking good, and I think it's a great thing that we can point to that the city's doing their job, as is doing the effort, and it's a good little piece of money. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not real expensive, and we get a lot done.
Well, speaking of cleanup, Scott, we're trying to get rid of the metal, extra metal, and the kind of the joke around here today. We couldn't get Schnitzer. Is it Schnitzer, Scott?
Yeah, right.
But metals prices are down so far, they don't want to come get it. And so Ashley was giving us a list of the locals, and I said, great, so we're going to transfer it from our property three blocks away to someone else in town, then it would become a code case. So I said, let's not hire anyone within South County. You know, we will get it hauled off somewhere out
to
of
distance.
Out of you know.
And I saw that pop. I was over there getting the tools for the cleanup day, and I saw this big pile of metal. Is that it? Is that the one?
Yeah, nobody okay. wants it.
Gonna be two trucks.
St. Vinny's.
So.
St. Vinny's. Call St. Vinny's. They'll take it.
Because they have the same problem with Schnitzer.
Oh.
See, the, you know, that's temp, you know, maybe a year from now. We may have to just let it build up. We are going to, he's going to start, we're going to get rid of our, we're going to junk a couple of the old trucks and all that stuff. So we're going to have a little bid thing where people can bid on them, and they're going to make up a list. So they're going to move them out toward the fence a little closer where people can come by and look at them, and then we'll put a notice in the paper, and it's just high bid.
Right.
And then you can call your tow truck, or I don't know, some drive, some don't.
And no warranty.
Yeah, no warranty.
Asses.
And then you can take a roll.
Counselor Egan has a comment she'd like to make.
Yeah, I just wondered, the Lapine Inn has been this issue for years and years. Is there any way we can get them to clean up that front weed area? And I know, but that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay. I have a list of five individuals who own business in this town who are on this list
okay.
that I'm going around and personally see.
Okay.
And I've already gone to about five others, and if you look around town, you'll notice there's several properties around here on Huntington and Main Street mm-hmm. that have gone out with their weed eaters and cleaned up and done a good job. So, yes, I will take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you really want to talk about it, Los Tres Caballos, which is next door, they need a little encouragement too. So
need to. It's just
well, the Homestead Tavern's coming down. If you when you go by, you'll notice mm-hmm. it's actually coming. They're pissing out the wood, and it's
really?
Got a demolition permit on the front door. So that building is coming down.
I did talk to the owner
Wendy,
and they're off on vacation.
Oh, the people tearing it down?
No, Wendy is.
Wendy.
Oh, was he not tearing it down?
No, but the process of it. She wants to be here, and she's postponed it until the middle of next month to finish. That's what she told me. So.
Well, it started there. They were taking wood out of it today, and the doors were open. It's in some state of coming down.
Okay.
It may take a break,
yeah.
but it will be leaving.
Good.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah.
Council, any further comments of any kind? Motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
A second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are out of here.